Well, welcome back to Influence Unplugged, everyone. I am your host, Lindsay Watson. So grateful and honored to be here. Our show's been extended, y'all. We are here permanently. So that being said, I am super excited to announce our next guest. Now, you all may know our guest. You may not. But I promise you, you don't know everything that she's got going on because it's changing, because things keep getting added to her schedule and agenda, and they are all amazing things that impact the community in such uplifting ways. We have with you the one and only Joetta. Joetta, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure, Lindsay. Thank you very much for that introduction. And I'm happy that the show has been extended and I'm on the show as well. So that's great.
Thank you. You know, it's hard for me to just say Joetta because I want to say Joetta the Olympian. Mm-hmm. I mean, in my mind, immediately, that's where I go. Yes. But you do so much more. But if you don't mind, just for the sake of the community, if we could just start with that, okay, with your experience in the world of sports and how far you've come.
Yes, I am Joetta. I'm a four-time Olympian. I'm a motivational speaker, an author, and a leading authority on wellness, health, and fitness. So I've been in this space for over 30 years, three decades, and I enjoy the Olympian. The Olympian background has enabled me to get sponsors for my many programs. It gives me credibility, and it's given me the opportunity to talk about how you are successful for over three decades, how you redevelop yourself, recreate yourself, how to remain relevant, and what I can do to make the community better. So that is what my platform is about and has been about for three decades.
I'm geeking out a little bit, Joetta, and here's why.
Yes.
You rarely see someone so successful. By the way, congratulations on your recent Hall of Fame induction.
Yes. I was inducted actually in 2013 in the New Jersey Hall of Fame, but they have the new museum. And so that is what I've been part of for a while up at the American Mall up in New Jersey.
Yeah.
They have a that's the big mall, and there's the New Jersey Hall of Fame Museum there. And I am featured in the museum with a lot of other New Jersey Hall of Fame athletes. And, well, not only athletes, the New Jersey Hall of Fame is a museum of people who have done great things in their fields, yeah, and also through the community. I'm not only in there as an athlete, but as a businesswoman and as a face and resource for people not only in New Jersey, but across the country.
So this is why I'm geeking out. Thank you for that update. This is why I'm geeking out. It's very rare that you see professionals in industry, decades worth of experience, thriving beyond what that initial trade was, especially folks of color.
Yes. Well, I mean, that's a good point. I think my early background with my father being the late, great Dr. Joe Clark, he's the subject of the movie Lean On Me, and then my mother, Jetta Clark. So I grew up in a environment where we believed in being great, remaining focused, follow one course until successful, and we didn't use excuses. So that background, that foundation is what I use throughout life as an athlete and as a businesswoman. And you are right, it's very hard to be a businesswoman for 1 year. And 5 years. To do 30 years is a long time.
Yeah.
And I say that it's not just been me. I've had great people that work with me. I've been blessed with God, and I've been able to redevelop and remain current because I have my pulse on what the community needs. And a lot of times when you're doing a business, you think it's all about you.
Yeah.
But if you're not offering a service for the community and for the companies that you're working for, you're no good to anybody. So my idea and objective for these years is to get a pulse on the community,
yeah,
on businesses, and see how my brand can fit what they're doing, as opposed to making them fit what I'm doing. Because when it's all said and done, they have the resources that I need to stay afloat.
Yeah.
And the more that I get for my business, the more I can help people in the community.
I just love that. So can you walk us a little bit through your journey as to how you identify the communities that you serve?
Right. Well, the Joetta Clark Dick Sports Foundation and Joetta Sports and Beyond started, like I said, over 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I identify the communities based upon the need. Every community needs to have someone that's healthy, financially, mentally, and spiritually.
Mm.
And because that doesn't focus on just one community,
yeah,
black, white, tall, short, Hispanic, doesn't matter what you are,
yeah,
health, resources, and your spiritual, mental capacity is important. So my message is for everybody. And I think that I tailor it and I tweak it for the communities, but there's not anyone that does not need to be healthy,
yeah,
does not need to know about finances, does not need to know about their spiritual and mental capacity. And that's when I come in. My experience as an athlete has enabled me to be focused and to stay the course,
yeah.
to have grit, and to have a successful business. You have to have those same characteristics. And that is what I try to do. And I want people to understand that you're not going to be an Olympian, but you can be the champion of your life. And you do that by knowing your purpose, by getting prepared,
mm-hmm.
by being patient, by getting perturbed, by persevering, and by praying. Those are my six P's.
I love it. I love the last one especially.
Yes.
I think that we as a community, the African-American community, understand the power of prayer, right? And the principles of sowing and reaping.
Right.
And so you're clearly reaping well. Things continue to open up for you. These doors are opening up and you have amazing opportunities.
Yes.
And so I recently learned that you've broken a new record.
Yes.
Would you mind sharing a little bit with us about that?
I sure would. I retired in 2000. So I made four Olympic teams, 1988, 92, 96, and 2000.
Wow.
And when I retired in 2000, my daughter was not born. Talitha Diggs is an amazing athlete
mm-hmm.
and a graduate of the University of Florida. And she's a world champion in her own right, an NCAA champion as well.
Woohoo!
She had never seen me run. She wanted to see me run. Mommy, run, run, run. So
wow.
I just never had the time, wanted to do it. The Masters USA Championships were in Gainesville, Florida in February. My daughter graduated from the University of Florida. When I was an athlete, I trained at the University of Florida. My father lived in Gainesville, and his body is now there mm-hmm. in Gainesville. So it all made sense to do it that meet.
Meant to be.
Meant to be. But I did not know I was set an American record. I wanted just to run to let my daughter see me run. I ran. I set an American record for a woman 60 to 64 years old, and it was for the 200 meters. I normally run 800 meters.
Okay.
But I stepped down as I've gotten older to run the 200 meters, set the American record. But the bigger picture here was, one, my daughter wanted to see me run.
Yeah.
See her excited and seeing her put together. Her friends came out. She had T-shirts. Seeing that piece. But also going through something when you're older. A lot of times we give up on our dreams
yeah.
when we're younger. As we transition to get older, we still can dream. We can still accomplish great things. So for me, it was something that I wanted to do for her, but also for other people to say, look, it doesn't matter what your age is. If you put the work in,
yeah.
if you remain patient, then you will have a good result. And the results vary for different people.
Yeah.
Masters go up to 90 years old. So people were there in their 90s competing at the competition. For them, just competing or just finishing, that was their goal. For me, my goal was to run and leave not being injured. So that was my goal. And I did that. And by doing that, it turned a light on women that are older. And I've been partnering with different groups now, like the American Heart Association, Go Red for Women, and AARP,
mm-hmm.
just because of the age.
Yeah.
And it's not about being like me. It's being the best you
right.
that you can be.
Right.
When you see me and speaking to different organizations, and I'm doing my track and field camps for younger people,
mm-hmm.
I go from pre-K all the way up to 90. It doesn't matter what your age is.
Mm.
My message works for you. And the message is never give up on yourself. Remain healthy.
Yeah.
Have a strong mind, strong body that equals a strong future.
You touched on definitely where I want to jump into next, but just acknowledging your daughter's wish and you just showing up for her, I think is so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it speaks to the legacy that is already being designed, right, in your family. So when you think about legacy, all these events, the camps, the foundations, everything you just mentioned, and everything else that you're doing,
yes.
what does your legacy look like for you? What else do you still mm-hmm. want to accomplish?
Well, too much is given, much is required.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I believe. And I know that if I wrap myself around myself, it's a small package. If I wrap myself around other people, it's a bigger package.
Mm.
And that's the gift. As for what I want to have happen, you know, movies, another book.
Okay.
Continue to speak to corporations and the school districts. But I think that when it's all said and done, the legacy is when I see people coming back saying, I was in your camp, Miss Joetta.
Yeah.
Or I see people saying, because of you, because of the donations and scholarships you've given me, I was able to go to school and graduate.
Yeah.
So the legacy isn't just about my family. It's about what I can do for other people. And it's just a nudge sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just a hug.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a recommendation for a job. But I'm in a position to use my influence to help other people.
Right.
And if you don't do that, then I think that's a problem. So the business of Joetta Sports and Beyond, the business of Joe Time Fitness, the business of my foundation, it doesn't work if I'm just keeping it close to myself.
Right.
It only works if other people know about it and if they're getting involved in the programs.
That's amazing. So I'm hearing the theme impact. Your mission and your legacy is to have that impact with anyone who may be introduced to you, your services, your speeches, right? Just that impact. Yeah. And I love that because then they take that impact and pass it on to someone else.
Exactly.
And someone else, right? And that truly is a legacy as opposed to what we do. It's that impact, right, that we make with what we do.
Right, right.
Okay, this is amazing. So what else do you have planned for the rest of 2025?
Well, so yeah. May is a big month. I do a lot of commencements at colleges. And then I have my 23rd annual track and field camp. And I partnered with Lehigh Valley Health Network and Muhlenberg College.
Yeah.
And we're going to do the camp there.
They have a great campus.
They do. Nice campus, confined and great university.
Yeah.
I'm going to have my camp there, ages 8 through 18.
Okay.
And it's boys and girls. And I'm there every day. It's from 8:30 to 3 o'clock. And the camp is June 16th through the 19th. So that Monday through that Thursday.
Okay.
And that's going to be a great time. I think that the camp is about grassroots. We have homework assignments, but it's a grassroots camp. You go in, you meet kids, you do speed and agility, you learn different events. So often parents want to put their kids in something that they did, but the kid may want to do something else. So my camp allows that flexibility under great counselors and renowned coaches who are certified and have been vetted. And my camp is the first first at camp. You're not going to find one like mine with the Olympians. And for the cost,
right,
it's only $195 for those days.
Wow.
I mean, that's from 8:30 to 3 o'clock for those 4 days. You can't beat that.
Wow. By any chance, you have some of those camps for adults.
You know, what we do is we have Joe Time Fitness, and Joe Time Fitness is for our adults.
Okay.
And we do fitness programs. We're on our YouTube channel, which is Joe Time Fitness. That's JOTYME Fitness, and also a Facebook page, Joe Time Fitness. And we tailor women, men who are older and want to stay healthy. We have fitness challenges. We talk about healthy eating. We also have programs that we do, and you can follow along. So Joe Time Fitness would be for our older market.
Okay, do you hear that? Older market, Lehigh Valley, we have an Olympian who has designed fitness programs for us. So let's make sure we jump on it and also include our youth. The upcoming camp in June sounds amazing.
Yeah.
So I will say that this has been an amazing conversation. One of the things I always like to ask every guest is, why the Lehigh Valley? What is it about this spot in the world that you call home and that keeps you wanting to continue to be here and launch from here?
Well, great question. I've been here for 14 years now, and so the Valley had to grow on to me. I am a Jersey girl, so I was always up and down 78. But once my daughter got into school and I got involved with the school district, I got involved with activities in the community, I saw that it was a gold mine. So many affluent, caring people are here. There's so many people that want to see the Valley thrive academically for our students here in the Valley.
Yeah.
Business-wise, is diverse, multicultural. Everyone has their struggles. And I think that if you partner with or reach out to, you can have resources that can help you, you know, meander through the Valley. I think the one thing that I like about it is that it is diverse enough and there are opportunities. And I'm able to put my hand on the pulse, and I know the people that can help me thrive. But it doesn't work if it's just a me. So by me having access to people, I can in turn help other people be successful in the Valley as well.
Thank you so much, Joetta. This has been amazing. Mm-hmm. I know that everyone is going to be able to walk away with something. This is invaluable. So I appreciate you so much for showing up and being present and sharing your wisdom with us here on Influence Unplugged. My name is Lindsay Watson. I'm your host, and we'll see you next episode.
WDIY presents a selection of award-winning podcasts that air weeknights from 6 to 7 p.m. Listen to important conversations regarding art, science, business, health, and more here in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Check our website for new topics and archived programs. WDIY podcasts are on 88.1 FM, streaming at wdiy.org, on the app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Influence Unplugged. I'm your host, Lindsay Watson. I'm so excited to be here with you tonight. We have the one and only Dr. Jeffrey Bullock here. He is new to the Lehigh Valley by about a year or so, but has been doing amazing things. You've probably heard of him and his business before, but we get to learn a little bit more about Dr. Jeff and his story. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me. Definitely appreciate being here.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I will say I've been here for over 12 years now, and I think you, to me, are one of the rising stars in our African-American community, both in business and just your presence and how you're giving back. And you've only been in the Lehigh Valley a short time. So can you talk to us a little bit about your journey and what brought you here?
Yep, absolutely. So I'm a pharmacist by trade. Mm-hmm. So if people know me, Dr. Jeff, the AI consultant, but so what brought me here was CVS. So actually, I've been here since COVID. That's what actually brought me here.
So you've been here longer than a year.
Yeah, I've been here longer than a year. Okay. Yeah, I've been here longer than a year. So my wife's from Catasauqua.
Okay.
So that's where she went to Catasauqua, which is Allentown.
Yeah.
And we came during COVID, 2020. We had a little girl. You know, I wanted her to grow up in a place like this. We were coming from Dallas, Texas. We're a lot of friends, but no family.
Yeah.
So that's what made us do it. And, after that time it was, I had been a pharmacist with CVS for 18 years.
Wow.
And, I was ready for something different. So like a year after that, I became full-time entrepreneur and then kind of go into the AI story. But I wanted to stop there. That's what brought me here was my wife and daughter.
Oh, I love that. Well, we're so happy that you all, you know, made the transition here. And so let's talk about your business, because this is really where we've come to know you as an entrepreneur.
Yes, I am the founder and CEO for Prism AI Consultants. Prism stands for Positivity, Resilience, Innovation, Service, and Mastery. And what we do is we help bridge the gap between existing AI tools and practical use case. Most people have no idea how to use these tools, ChatGPT, image generators, video generators, voice generators, so much, so overwhelming, so confusing at times, but also so powerful. It's like magic. If you know how to ask the right questions and use them, resources are able to be amplified if you know how to use them. Most people don't actually know how to use them. They use them very basically. So what we do is we help people reach their goals through the power of AI, and that's what that looks like. So we've been doing it since 2023, June of 23. It's a brand new world that we're living in. It's wild.
It is. Okay, brother. So how did you go from pharmacist to technologist?
Yes. Because I don't have a background
in technology. Bridge this gap for
yes,
us.
Yes, okay. So there are some common threads, though, I will say. So I was, like I said, I was with CVS for 18 years. Yeah. I started as a clerk, so not even a tech. Like, started, like, front.
Got to start somewhere.
Start somewhere, right? And then from there, I did all the jobs. I was a tech, then an intern, pharmacy manager, pharmacy supervisor, district manager, corporate trainer. And I even did some national podcasts with CVS.
Awesome.
And then I told you about my transition. After leaving CVS, I actually didn't do AI. I started a trucking business. I had a real estate business while I was still working with CVS in Dallas.
Okay.
And I was fortunate enough to amass 11 units. Now, super duper tumultuous. It was not easy. Like, this is the bridge version, like, where, you know, the rose is at the other end. But it was hard. It was hard. It was stressful. It was like, what am I doing this for myself for?
Yeah.
But that's what happened. And then when I left CVS, I bought those trucks. I sold the houses and bought the trucks. That didn't work. The trucks didn't quite work either. I had hired maybe 1,000 people at CVS over my career.
Yeah.
And I was like, how hard could it be to hire a couple of drivers? Very hard.
It's so different, isn't it?
It's very different. The entrepreneurship world is very, very different than corporate world. And, you know, humbling, which is, you know, why things happen for a reason. Learned a lot of lessons. But then after that didn't quite work, ChatGPT came. This is November 22. ChatGPT comes out.
Okay.
And when it comes out, it's helpful. It's like, this is the free 3.5 version. And it was like good with emails. It was good with language. It helped with automating some things. But it wasn't nothing like it is now. Then in March of that year is when GPT-4 came out. And that's when I tell people aliens landed. Because it was able to do things that it would take me weeks to do at CVS. It was able to do in minutes. So I knew that this was different. Like, the world had changed. I was just fortunate enough to be able to pay attention to it. So then I just started voraciously learning about it and like watching YouTube videos and reading books and getting taking courses and getting trained. And the books I was reading was putting me to sleep, prompt engineering books. So I wrote one on how to use AI for beginners. And then in June of that year is when they put ChatGPT online to where we get real-time information. So that is when I started Prism, because instead of consulting for a specific pharmacy or, you know, transportation, I was like, no, I just want to teach people how to use this tool, because if you have the knowledge of how to wield this power, then it doesn't matter what your field is. You're able to move at a pace that is unheard of. And 2 years later, it's just only gotten so much more powerful, so many more tools. So very fortunate that I was able to make that switch and help people into this new age.
That's amazing. You saw the opportunity and you decided to take advantage of being apart from the ground floor.
Yep.
And I'm hearing self-taught technologically primarily, but you pulled from the processes and systems that you'd been exposed to at CVS.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes. The biggest one I would say is as a the leadership piece and the coaching piece, right? So as a field manager, you know, your job, whenever you're at that level, no matter what the job, particular job is, you're taking an idea that they come up with corporate.
Yeah.
And then you got to get people to execute it.
Yeah.
So that's bridging that gap, like from idea to reality.
Yeah.
And CVS is a really innovative company, so I had did all kinds of projects that were outside of my pharmacy range. So I was comfortable with doing things that I had no business doing, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
And then you learn and you figure it out. And so that also helped me make this transition and feel comfortable about it because, you know, this technology, it really is the game changer of our generation, hands down. The next 5 years will look different than the last 100.
Yeah.
And that will be partly, largely because of this technology.
So I was just reading an article, and I try to stay on top of whatever's going on in the world of AI. And one of the things that I continue to see is how many jobs are just going to be gone through the use of AI and just replacing the need for that those human hands for certain sectors. What are you seeing in the world of job creation? I never like to talk about what's going away, but focus on what's being created. What do you see in the world of job creation as it pertains to AI? Or maybe somebody listening can say, hey, I could do that. I could learn how to do that. Maybe I should explore this career.
So the first thing I would say is this is a touchy subject. Like, people are very nervous about this. Rightly so, I will say. Like, that is coming. Like, there's facts. It's going to take a while, you know, before it gets to a critical point, but eventually, like, AI is going to take, or this technology will transform many jobs. So the question you ask is like, all right, well, then how do I protect myself?
Sure.
Or how do I, like, you know, future-proof myself, or what should I be looking into? One thing that I will say, when using this technology, just universally, like, try it. Like, it's we're 2 years in, like I said, from the GPT-4 was March of 23, and now it's April, almost May of 25. Try it. Like, try it. Try it for something that you might, like, need help with, a chat from a chatbot standpoint. There's all fields. It does not matter. If it touches a computer, so in all fields touch a computer, then it's touched by it. Now, I will say that the fields that will get affected fastest are the ones that the heavier it deals with repetitive patterns, then AI is coming for that first. So coding, you know, there was a meme and a joke a few years ago, like, truckers better learn to code, because they thought that the truckers' jobs would be the ones that will be automated out first.
Wow.
So they would say truckers learn to code. But when this is before ChatGPT, but then they found out, no, it's actually easier to do the coding than to do the trucking. So now the truckers are saying, coders better learn to drive, right? Now we know that automation is coming for driving too, but that's just it's just to show that you don't know what's going to happen with this. You just never know which way the wind's going to blow with it. But for right now, we know that the coding and those types of jobs that deal with patterns are ones that are most risk. The CEOs of many of these technology companies, ChatGPTs and the Claudes and the Googles, say that the world's best coder will be AI by the end of this year. This is 2025.
Mm-hmm.
So that means if that is your profession, then how do you stay afloat in that technology when AI is going to be the best of that?
Yeah.
How you do it is you learn how to use the AI.
Mm-hmm.
in that.
That's amazing. I think that the more we can talk about this, the less scary it will be, right? There, what I'm hearing you say, there's an opportunity to prepare and prepare to pivot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's really what you did when you were introduced to ChatGPT, right? In the beginning, you said, oh, I got to pivot. I'm pivoting, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, hard pivot.
It's a perfect segue. I tell you, all my guests always you just lead right into where I'm thinking next. So I appreciate that segue. You talked about being an entrepreneur, and you said it's humbling.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. The stories, I'm sure you can tell.
Oh, so many stories.
Yeah. So from one entrepreneur to a next, when you said humbling, it just, the weight of it just, right, it just sunk right in, like, that is really the best way to describe being responsible for the entire structure, organization,
yes,
operation.
The entire thing.
The entire thing.
Yeah, because you're a rock star at some pieces, but you were not good at some other pieces that may be critical pieces.
Yes.
So you won't even, everybody even see your rock starness for some years. That's tough, right? That's tough to be thinking that you're one thing and find out that you're not, and still got to go try to earn, and still got to go figure it out, and... why you leave again?
Yeah. 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 In the middle of the night, right. Those usually pop up. Like,
why'd you do that again? What was, is this what you wanted? Right. Those types of thoughts. They happen to us all.
Well, I appreciate you really laying that picture out. I think one of the things in the world of entrepreneurship, and I've said this before with some other guests, the glitz and the glamour, right, of especially the influencers who are doing a great job with their stories, but it seems to be like almost overnight. Right? And it's not.
No, it's not.
It's not.
No, it's not.
Yeah, and like you said, it may take some time for people to even see what you're good at, because you know, that kind of almost has to take a backseat, right, to the things that you need to work on and evolve in.
Yes.
So in the world of AI, how do you balance learning and keeping up with AI and then still operating your business?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's AI. Thankfully, because I know how to use AI, it has helped me with my business and keeping up with AI. This field is crazy fast moving. And once again, everything happens for a reason. So you don't just, like, you take all the lessons for everything that you've done, everything that you come to the table with, and you just keep evolving, you keep growing. So, like, just kind of go back a little bit. When you talked about, like, the entrepreneurship and, you know, not being able to do some of the other things, the critical stuff that you got to learn how to do. Like, even now, like, there are things that because of CVS, right, like, whether it be presentations or whether it be, I'm able to excel at now with this AI piece. Finally, now I get that opportunity.
Yeah.
But I had to learn so much other stuff that I just had no idea about, from a sales standpoint, from a funnel standpoint, from a, you know, those entrepreneurship standpoint, from a, you know, I knew how to lead a team, but I did not really understand the importance of, like focusing on energy on just certain things until you get to a certain point, and then you can do the next thing. So all that happens. All right, now, how I keep up. So one is, I learned in the struggle how important it is to be structured with my time. And AI has helped with that. Like, you could just, I tell everyone, just talk to your AI tools. Mm-hmm. So letting it know what your calendar is, that's one thing. But then even to the point where, like, all right, I got 17 minutes right now. How can I get something done, something accomplished? And it breaks it down, and then you're able to. So I'm able to execute. So I'm able to take more things off my plate faster, either by doing them or delegating them to a team. And by using AI, it's like having a 24/7 team of experts that graduated college in every single subject at your disposal. So that is what helps me with getting things done and then staying caught up. I still do the courses. I still watching YouTube videos. I'm still reading books. But when you have the level of knowledge, it's a lot easier to stay caught up.
Yeah.
When you're at the edge, keeping at the edge, as opposed to when you don't know anything.
Right.
So I just stay consistent with it. It's the consistency. It's not I'm good now, I know more than most. No, this stuff changes daily.
Right.
So I have a daily feed that comes to me from AI that I program that says, hey, these are the updates. And then at the end of the week, I'm able to do a deeper dive.
Thank you so much. These are great nuggets for us to take and do something with now so that our future will be more secure, at least technologically. We appreciate you stopping by. Thank you so much, Jeff, for being a part of Influence Unplugged. My name is Lindsay Watson. This is Influence Unplugged, and we will see you very soon for our next episode.